Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on average, it seems, Americans are lonely. Did you know that? In fact, some have even called it a loneliness epidemic. There was a survey released a year ago this month. This month is actually Mental Health Awareness Month. And the insurer Cigna had found that loneliness is actually on the rise and widespread in America, with nearly 50% of the respondents to the survey reporting that they felt alone or left out, either always or sometimes. The University of California, Los Angeles, used this tool of statements, a series of statements and a formula to calculate a loneliness score based on responses. So the scores range from 20, which is not lonely at all, to 80, quite isolated. And people scoring 43 and above were considered to be lonely. The survey found that the average loneliness score is around 44. And it's interesting. They broke it down a bit in terms of generations, and I don't know if you can guess, would younger generations or older generations consider themselves to be more lonely? Which one? It's the younger, not only because of screens. You can interact on social media and what have you and not be lonely. You can do it in ways that promote community. But members of Generation Z, the survey found, born between the mid-1990s and early 2000s, had a pretty much a higher score, 48.3. Millennials, those sought-after people in every church, in their 20s and 30s. Yes, Josephine, yes, we hear you. Your mama and daddy, yes, that's who we're talking about. Millennials scored 45.3, and by comparison, baby boomers scored 42.4. The greatest generation, as they are often called, those who grew up in the Depression, coming of age during World War II, scored 38.6, so not so lonely. So just listen to this for a minute. More than half of survey respondents said they always or sometimes feel that no one knows them that well. 56% reported they sometimes or always felt like the people around them are not necessarily with them. And 2 in 5 felt like that they lack companionship and their relationships aren't meaningful and that they are isolated from others. So here in church, as Christians, this is something for us to pay attention to, isn't it? And we're not immune, of course, just because we're here, to those feelings of loneliness either. One of the things I heard most clearly last weekend at our church retreat, but also in other settings and conversations with you, both individually and in groups, is a deep, deep longing for community. I believe that's a God-placed longing within us. Particularly, and hear this, my older friends, among those of us who are 60 and younger, and mostly 50 and younger in this congregation. So yes, we want to grow in our faith. That's obviously why we're here. Yes, we want to serve others in the name of Jesus. That's why we're here. Yes, we want our children and our youth and our grandchildren to learn the Bible and to learn those spiritual practices which have sustained us. And we want to learn all of that. But we also need a place, not just where everyone knows your name, right? That's a start. But where we can be known fully and accepted and know others and live in that kind of community that God desires for us. You've heard me tell this little story before, I'm sure. Maybe you've heard it somewhere else, about the young boy that came to his mom in the middle of the night, scared by a bad dream. And the mom reassures her son by saying, "God is with you." And the son replies, "Maybe, but I need someone with skin on." So the book of James that we heard from today is really, the whole book is really about love with skin on. Be doers of the word, right? Don't just talk about it, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So it's a book about love and a love that does, that shows that love by doing and being in the world. And we do that kind of love well at Trinity. We care deeply for one another. Just yesterday, I heard that Valerie Austin, who's in the hospital, had called Bob Gagno to get a ride, and he came and took her to the hospital in her time of need. I hear stories like that all the time from you. We pray for one another. We send notes when someone has missed worship and just reaching out to them. We serve at PADS, obviously. And we offer so many opportunities to be in mission with our kids, the Service Project Sundays. Paul Nixon, our church consultant who was here last week, told me that the image that came to his mind when he experienced Trinity last weekend was that of a spiritual village. Isn't that lovely? Would you just sit with that as we continue our visioning process? We are a spiritual village, a community of faith with a spirit of love. But I think we have an opportunity to go even deeper with that love, to do it better. And some of that will mean finding ways to connect more deeply with one another. And so I want you to just be thinking and praying about that in the months to come. How we might continue to reach out across our pews to one another, to treasure this gift of who we are here at Trinity. We have folks from around the world. We have folks from around the country, from some who grew up in the city, some who grew up in the suburbs. We have young starting to crawl. We have babies back here. We have folks using walkers to come in. We have such a wonderful diversity of generations. And also from so many different places spiritually. You know, as I'm looking around, we have folks with Lutheran roots and Catholic roots and Baptist roots. And in so many ways, we talk sometimes about our mission being out there, and that is true, of course. But we have so much to learn from one another and a sense of being able to grow from that learning and follow Jesus more dearly right here. The poet Wendell Berry has said, "What we need is right here." When Jesus spoke his last words to his disciples, you may know that gospel reading that was read this morning. It's the Great Commission. It's the last words he said, at least in the Gospel of Matthew. And he told them to go and make more disciples. Remember, a disciple is simply someone who follows Jesus. To live out the love he had shown them. This is some of our people living out that love. So that others might know it and see it in them. We read in this scripture, I had forgotten this little piece, but if you go, you can look at it now if you want, in Matthew 28. We read that some of the disciples doubted, meaning they weren't quite sure. How are we going to do this? How are we going to live out this love that Jesus showed us? And Jesus came back with a promise. And the promise was, I will be with you always. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. It's not the only time in Scripture we are promised that God's presence will be with us. Remember in Joshua, we read, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And in Matthew, when the birth of Jesus is announced, remember the story about the virgin conceiving and bearing a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But still, we need someone with skin on, don't we? When I was in seventh grade, I have to confess that I hated going to youth group. I actually remember it was a big youth group, like 100 kids in this big fellowship hall. It was 7th through 12th graders. And I remember sitting with my mom in our Pontiac Le Mans station wagon in the church parking lot and her just saying, can't you just go on in? Can't you just try it? And I was like, no, I don't want to walk into a room of 100 people and make small talk. I don't even know how to do that. I'm in 7th grade. I don't think I said that, but That's what I thought as I look back. You remember being in seventh grade, right? Some of you are in seventh grade right now. It's not easy. But slowly but surely, I found my way into that group. And the reason I did was because there was someone who showed God's presence to me, someone with skin on. It was a girl, a young woman named Valerie Davis. She was 2 years older than me. And I walked, finally, when I got out of the car and walked into that room, she took me by the hand and walked over with me to where people were eating dinner and sat with me and talked with me and invited me into the conversation. As we look over the past over the next few weeks at what it means to really live out God's love, I'm going to be drawing some from this book by Bob Goff, and this is a lovely little quote and some food for thought, I think, that Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people most of us have spent our whole lives trying to avoid. I remember once my aunt talking about being asked to teach junior high Sunday school, and she was like, no, I could never do that, right? And I'm like, I love seventh graders. I love eighth graders. But there is sort of a thing about middle schoolers and their energy and what have you. So whether you're avoiding middle schoolers or whether you're avoiding other people who look differently from you or just act differently from you, Jesus is calling you and me to do something different. So Bob Goff's basic premise in his book is that to follow Jesus, to really follow him closely, means that we reach out across those barriers that separate us from one another. Some of those people we have avoided are out there beyond these walls, and some of them are just right here at Trinity, not intentionally perhaps, but just because they're different from us and we may not know quite how to relate. But God has called us together, I believe, as a church, as Trinity, for a reason. God has called you and me broken people, hungry people, lonely people. God has called us together with our best friends. Some of you have met your best friends here as we were hearing from the children's sermon. And some of us have been called together with people we might not normally think to invite over for dinner or coffee. It just doesn't cross our minds. Jesus gave a promise, next slide there, to the people he was leaving behind. Someone here today needs to know that promise and that presence, that love with skin on. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone you know in your own family. Someone needs to know that they are not alone in whatever struggle they are going through. Someone needs to hear these words of Jesus, and they need to hear them from someone with skin on. They don't just need to hear us talking about love. They need to see that love in our lives, in our hearts. So I want to invite you to do something right now and to think about this throughout the week. I want to invite you to think about someone. Maybe it's someone in your family, maybe it's someone at your workplace, maybe it's someone you meet at the grocery store, someone who is lonely. Someone who is lonely. You might want to write this person's name down right now or later today. I want you to think about what you might do, first of all, to pray for them, to pray over that name, to pray for that person, and how you might reach out to them this week. Maybe it's someone who lives across the miles and needs a note or a phone call or a card. Maybe it's the cashier at the grocery store you go to every week that just needs more connection. If you feel like it, send me an email or call me and let me know how it goes. One of my favorite authors, her name is Rachel Held Evans, died just yesterday. Some of you have read her work. She was only 37 years old, and she left a husband behind and two very young children, 1 and 3. Her books have been a light to many Christians. She grew up in more conservative evangelical Christianity down in Alabama and Tennessee, and she left the church for quite a while, and then she and her husband found their way back to following Jesus. I love what she wrote about church and what it means to love and to follow Jesus. And so here's just a word from her as we gather around this table of love today. She said, and she wrote, "This is what God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry and because they said yes." You and I are hungry, or we wouldn't be here. We're hungry for community that sustains us. We're hungry for purpose, for strength, for presence, and for love. And this is where we find it. And this is where we find it. At God's table of love and grace. This is where the lonely find community. This is where the sinners find grace. This is where love gets real. This is where God is with us. This is where the power of that presence is known. This is what love does if we let it. It builds a community. It builds a church. It builds a people. It builds people who follow Jesus. I pray that we will let that be so. For your sake and my sake, for the lonely and the lost, for the young and the old, for all of God's people. Amen.